أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون صدق الله العظيم. This surah is called Surah Al-Infitar. The subject matter of this surah and Surah Al-Takwir, Surah Al-Takwir, the previous surah, is almost the same, which is reminding us of some facts that will be taking place on the Day of Judgment. Especially about the destruction of the universe. And then reminding the human beings of their reality and what they would be facing and what they should do about it. Subhanallah, as we think about it, how many times again and again and in different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. And yet, it seems that we are not willing to accept it. If you were just to think about it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have made the Quran just one or two juz and would just command us, do this and don't do this, and then one chapter, whatever you have been ordered, if you do it, I'll give you the reward and I'll bless you. And if you won't do what I have commanded you, I'll give you this punishment. If that was the end of it, it would have been enough for human beings to get that order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we had to do all the actions the way we have to do it now. Even if you won't give us no reminders, no explanations, just orders, do's and don'ts. And at the end will tell us, if you would disobey, this is what you would get. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have done that, that would have been justice. That we are his servants. Why the master has to remind us over and over? If there is a student in the class that you have to remind him 50 times each day, you won't consider him a good student. But a good teacher who is really in touch with that student, he might use all different means to make sure the students will learn something. Because he loves him. He has some concern for him in his heart. He does not want to kick him out of his class. He knows if I would kick him out, he will never learn again. He will not be able to go anywhere else and learn. So let me do my best. I don't want this child to just go and get lost. And I don't want his time to be wasted. I want him to get something out of it. I want him to get something in future. I want a good future for him. This is why the teacher will keep on trying and trying and trying and trying. And same thing with parents, which is even more. That parents will keep on reminding. please, son, don't do this. And every mean they will try, that he will never do that thing again. And whatever is good, say for example, and nowadays this will be the most appropriate example and applicable example these days, that this student, our child, our son, and in fact now even our daughters, they don't want to go to the college. They tell us, no, I don't want to attend those classes anymore. And then we'll see the cry of the parents. They will do anything in the world to make sure that their son, their daughter, will continue going to the college, to the university, get those degrees. And whatever they have in their mind for their future, according to their understanding and their standards, they would like them to get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying with us the same thing. Again and again there is a reminder that, oh human being, please don't go away. I'm your Lord, come back to me. Remember when this will happen, remember when that will happen. The way we might remind our children, you know, I will die, you have to take care of yourself, you will grow up, you will have to run your own affairs, you will have family, you will have children, you will have to take care of them. How are you going to do all of this? As we scare them of all of those things that we feel they might face it. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the reality of something that He says for sure you will face it. It's not just a thought. It's a reality. That for sure all of us will face it. And again He keeps on reminding us that, oh human being, please don't go away from me. Practice your deen, practice your iman. And I'm telling you only to build your good future. I'm looking at your future. You are wasting your time. Just like when the children who feel, no, I'm doing it for my comfort. I feel good when I go and play. You give them a Game Boy and they will stay with it for whole day. They can sit in front of the computer for weeks and months. They don't feel like leaving it. Because they feel comfortable sitting with those things. They feel that this is the comfort, and parents are reminding them of the fact that this is not a comfort. This is just a game for a few days. It will be over. And then you will have to face the reality of your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again and again of the same fact that, oh human being, this whole world is just a game. It will be over in a few days. And then you will see the reality of your life. You will have to face those realities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what I'm reminding you. Just for your own future, not for me. If we really look into it, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, and every way He wants us to do something good, is there any benefit that He is getting out of it? None whatsoever. No benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting out of it. There is Hadith al-Qudsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said, Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على قلب أتقى رجل منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. If from the first human being till the last human being in the world, and every jinn and human beings will get together and become like the most virtuous person in the world, all of them will become as virtuous as Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْئًا, that's not going to increase my kingdom, I will not benefit anything from it. يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كانوا على قلب أفجر رجل منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملك شيئا. If all of you together, human beings and jinns, will become like the worst person in the world, it will not decrease anything from my kingdom, will not hurt me. If all the human beings and everyone will get together to harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way in the world anyone can harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As there is a saying in our language, that a person who will try to split on the moon, it will come back on his face. A person turns his face up and spits on the moon, whoever will try to spit on the moon is not going to get on the moon, but it will come back on his face. So who can hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we cannot hurt the creation of Allah, sun, moon, stars, can we do anything to those planets? Nothing. If we cannot hurt these things that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can anyone hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get any benefit out of this, all of our ibadah. And yet, He's reminding us again and again to do it. For what? Solely, just for our benefit, nothing else. When we say to our children that I'm saying it just for your benefit, in reality, there is some of our benefit hidden behind it. I'm looking at it. My children are my future too. They are not only their future, they are my future. In my old age, I get 70 years old, 80 years old. Who's going to help me at that age? That's the time when we think about them, we say, my children will be the help at that time. I don't expect it from anyone else, but the children will do it. We hope, at least. If they won't throw us in the old age homes. And even if it is not that, at least we have in our mind that this is my son. Tomorrow everyone will be able to say that his son is this. His son is so educated. His son is so nice. He did such a hard work on his son that he made them do this. So we are looking for some of our benefit that's hidden over there. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do this, and He's reminding us, there is none of His benefit there. It's only our benefit. He's not going to get anything out of it. Is He getting anything by giving us the Jannah? He's giving. He's only giving, not taking anything at all. And is He going to lose anything by punishing people in the hellfire? None whatsoever. He's not going to lose anything either. So it's not a question of benefit and loss over there. It's only a matter of love for human beings. That's all. It's only a matter of love. That I want you to do the right thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again and again, in many different ways and every way possible, He reminds us of the facts that we will be facing in our future. And what future? We are looking at these very near future. It's not something that will happen long time after. It's very near future. Wallahu alam, how many seconds and minutes for us, but even if it will take years. What are these years? If those of us who are in our 40s, 50s, if we were to write our own biography and try to remember things that we have done in the past 30, 40, 50 years, how many pages we would be able to write about that life? Can we write a book of 100 pages that these are the things I have done in the past of my life? It would be very difficult. After a couple of pages, the pen will stop and we'll have to keep on thinking, what else did I do? This is 30, 40, 50 years of our life. And what's remaining? If not less, at least, it will be the similar amount. The maximum we can say. And I'm sure a person who's in 40s, he's not even hoping to leave, to live for the same amount of years as he lived in the past. He's hoping for at least about half or a little lower than half. That's all. He's 40 if he wishes, 65, 70, that's fine. I'm ready to go. So even our hopes are not that big. But when we really look into our lives, the preparation for this life is so great as if we are going to live forever, and the preparation for Akhirah is so minimum as we are now never going to face that life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really reminding us of these facts. And just the reminder, if we think about it, we'll have to go back at night time and cry to Allah that, Ya Allah, what good did we, the human beings, do that you would remind us so much? And so many times, in so many different ways. This is His blessings. What a great blessing it is. That after so many reminders, and yet we are so far away, imagine if all of these reminders were not there. If He would not keep on reminding us in different ways, again and again. And as I said in the beginning, if He would have just given us one juz of Quran, would have been enough. One juz, do this, don't do this. And if you disobey me, you will get this punishment. That's it. That's His justice. We are His servants. And here, if we remind ourselves of the 50 salah that became fard in the beginning of Islam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the salah, there were 50. Just think, if there were 50 salah as it was originally, how many of those salah we would be able to perform? Subhanallah. Look how weak we are. And originally the order was for 50. And then how much time we would have to make our living and all the other work that we are involved in. Spending time with our families, going to the work and fulfilling all the other necessities of the life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is great. But those 50 salah is a lesson to tell us that our life is mainly is for the ibadah. And if Allah will ask us to do 50 salah, we have to do those 50 salah also. And in reality, our life is supposed to be involved throughout. It's supposed to be in ibadah. Is there any objection on having 50 salah? No one can object. Who can object? If there were 50 salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and tell your ummah to perform 50 prayers. He knew that I'm not going to leave it that way. But at least He informed us that I can tell you to do 50 and you're supposed to do 50. Then your excuse of not having a time and I have to work and I have a family will not be a valid excuse. If I tell you 50 salah fard, you have to perform the 50 salah, otherwise there is a punishment there. And this tells us the relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a relationship of a master and a servant. When we go to workplace, we work about 8-9 hours. Why? Because the boss wants me to work these many hours to make this much money. Or because I have to work these many hours to continue running my business and to make my living. If a person will know that I have to work for 1 hour, in 1 hour I will make all the money and rest of the 7 hours, I don't have to work. And even if I work, I won't get nothing out of it. Then who out of us will work for 8 hours? We'll work for 1 hour. And the 7 hours we'll spend in somewhere else. So basically we are seeing our benefit over there. And we are commanded, either forced by our job, the nature of the job, or by our boss, to do that amount of work and those many hours of work. Same thing, the relationship of human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a master and servants. And if the master wants us to work for these many hours, we can never question. And in reality, there is no stronger relationship. It's not that we are putting ourselves down. There is no stronger relationship of master and servant than the relationship of human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we hear people being very proud that my boss is very nice. You know, I have such a close relationship with him that we sit together, we chat, we go to parties together. So people are very happy that the boss is so nice and I have such a strong relationship with him. So this is something for us to be proud of, that no relationship in the world is stronger than this relationship of master and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human beings. And here, there is a question. For us to answer this question, in order for us to understand the reality of our life and the reality of this relationship. How long does it take for us to establish this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How long would it take? For some of us, to go to our job might take us half an hour because it's on a distance of half an hour drive. So it takes me half an hour to go to my job. For some of us, it takes us 10 minutes to get to our job. Some of us will take us 5 minutes because that's the distance. For some of us, it might take us 1 minute because it's very close walking distance. Just walk out of your home, get to your workplace. How far is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How long does it take to get to Him? Is He on a distance of an hour, half an hour, 5 minutes, or a minute? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to human being than his own jugular worm. So how long does it take for us to get back to him? To go to our master? Not even a second. Not even a second to get back to our master and establish our relationship with him. It's only when we decide that I would like to do it, you think in your heart that, Ya Allah, I know that you are with me and you are closer to me than anything else in my life. And now I have submitted myself to you, Ya Allah, I belong to you. I admit that I belong to you. That's all. And we get back to it. And this is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us istikhara. What is this istikhara? That we go back to our master and ask him, should I do this or not? Some people will do this istikhara only in major things in their lives. He wants to start a business, so he will do the istikhara. He wants to get married, so he's going to do the istikhara. And for these type of major things, major decisions of our life. But for many other people, istikhara is not limited to those things. Each and everything they do in their life is done after istikhara, and not necessarily that every time they have to do that type of istikhara. Istikhara means talabul khayr, asking Allah for good. For anything before they would do anything, for a second they will close their eyes and think into their heart that, Ya Allah, I'm about to do it. If it is good, make it possible for me. That's istikhara. Even though, for major things, there is another way of istikhara, which is well known in the ahadith. But this is also a way of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings, for His blessings, for each and everything that we do in our life. That's istikhara. And that's returning to our Master. Subhanallah, how close He is and how far we are from Him. How merciful He is and how much far away we are running away from Him and turning away from Him. How many times He's calling us again and again and reminding us, and we are heedless to His reminders. And we never even think about Him. Other people who will do a small favor to us in our life, we be thankful to those people for the rest of our lives. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose favors and blessings we are using day and night. Day and night we are using it. And not a moment that we think back that, subhanallah, if I'm using all of this, I have to spend some time thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfilling the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every moment of our life, we are receiving blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish us for our sins, believe me, we will never dare to commit another sin. If He would punish us for the sins that we perform in our life, if He would start punishing us for these sins, we will never dare to perform another sin and commit another sin. Because sometime when we get into hardships, then we remember all the sins of our lives. A little hardship that comes in our life would remind us of all the sins that we have committed in our life. Imagine if He will hold us accountable for each and every sin that we commit. And whenever we do something wrong, we get into a big trouble. We start losing our business, we start losing our wealth, we start losing everything around us for a sin that we have committed. We would never dare to commit a sin. And as soon as we would do it, we will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, that, Ya Allah, please, don't repeat that punishment again. Please, I don't want that punishment to be repeated, and I ask Your forgiveness, Ya Allah. But because He's being so merciful, we are taking advantage of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in the surah, again another reminder after Surah Al-Takwir, that was a great reminder. Another reminder in this surah, Surah Al-Infitar. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. When the heaven will split. انْفَطَرَ يَنْفَطِرُ means to break down, to split. فَرْجِعَ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ in Surah Mulk. That now look at the heaven, do you see any breaks over there? It's not broken now. But إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, a time will come when it will break apart. And this breaking means that there will be no barrier between this world and the heaven. Angels will come down and everything will become just one universe. It won't be two different than worlds anymore. It won't be the upper and the bottom. Everything will become just one world. And angels will come down. People will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. They will be standing before Allah for the question. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. When the stars will fall apart. No need of the sunlight, moonlight, and the shining stars. All of these things will collapse. And there will be no need of these things anymore. There will be different light there. Something will be lightening the world. What will be that? Either the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something else that He will bring. But these things will not be needed anymore. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. And when the oceans will be torn apart. Fujira means infajara yanfajir, means something that gushes out of the ground. When the water starts gushing out of the ground, that's infajar al-ma, the water starts breaking out, coming out. In this sense, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah that all the oceans will break apart, which simply means will split, and all the oceans will get together. All the water will not remain different oceans anymore. They all will become one. This will be the first step. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the previous surah, Surah Al-Takwir, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, which means the oceans will become blazing fire. That will be the next part. So all the oceans will become one, and then the fire will start in them. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, إِنَّ تَحْتَ الْبَحْرِ نَارًا. Under the ocean, there is a fire. وَتَحْتَ النَّارِ بَحْرًا. And under that fire, there is another ocean. So at that time, all the oceans will catch into the fire, and all will become one, and there will be fire, only fire and no more water in the world. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And when the graves will be laid open. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every human being, every soul will know what he have sent forward and what he have left behind. In the first four ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us of four things that will be happening on the Day of Judgment. To understand that prayer, let me just remind you, when people go out for camping, they take a tent with them. And once that camp is over and they are ready to go back home, now they are going to fold the tent, pick up all the scarf from it, and go back home. This is exactly what will happen. We are living in a tent over here. And as the time will come to go back home, which is our real home in the Akhirah, then all of this will be folded. Then we will take everything out of this tent. Everything will break apart. All the houses, castles, mountains, everything. It will be just an open space. No more need for the candles and these small lights, sun, moon, and stars. We'll take all of these also away. We don't want to keep them there anymore. And then we'll go back to our home. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. That we all will go back to our real home. And this is why all of this will be folded and will break apart. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. The heavens will split. Will break apart. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. The stars will fall apart. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. And when the oceans will be torn apart. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And when the graves will be laid open. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. At that time, every soul will remember and will know what they have sent ahead of them and what they have left behind them. What we have sent ahead of us, it's our deeds. And what we left behind us, there are different explanations by the Mufassirin about it. And it can mean all of these, which is number one, all the wealth and everything that we left behind us will remember, oh, this is what I left behind me, but it's of no use anymore. Or, it will be of what we left behind us means that all the good deeds that we started them in the world and we died. And then people continued with those good deeds. So this is what we left behind us. So either in a form of sadaqah jariyah, which means either we have virtuous children who will continue making dua for us, we left them behind us, or some knowledge that we left behind us, sadaqah jariyah, which means wealth that we have spent in the masajid, in the houses of Allah, in places where the benefit is continuous, and that's what we have left behind us after our death. So whatever, everything we will remember it at that time. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every soul will remember what they have sent ahead of them and what they have left behind them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and asks us, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. This ayah needs some explanation, inshallah. We will talk about it after the salah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك. صدق الله العظيم. So after reminding us of the facts that we will be facing on the Day of Judgment, and then also reminding us that the only thing that will help us on that day will be our deeds. And عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every person will remember everything that he have done in his life. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Oh human being, it's such a beautiful ayah. This ayah is such a beautiful ayah of Quran. And it's such a strong reminder when a father puts his hand on his son's head, will get him close to him, and will say to him, son, what's making you do all of these evils? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. O human being, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What have lured you away from your gracious Lord? What is it there that making you careless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Careless of His reminders. Heedless to His reminders. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah of Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. O people, the promise of Allah is very true. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Let not the worldly life deceive you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And let not the chief deceiver deceive you, which is shaitan. Al-Gharur is shaitan. So let not that chief deceiver deceive you and turn you away from your Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us here, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. O human being, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What have lured you away from your Lord? Al-Kareem, the gracious, the generous, the grateful, the one who is favoring you with all the favors that you have in your life. And yet you are turning away from Him. الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. What do you have your own? Not even your own existence. Alladhi khalaqak. He created you. What else you have? You did not even make your soul. Then, after creating you, fasawwak. He fashioned you. Perfected you. Fa'adalak. And He completed you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us three things in this ayah. That these three things should remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalaqak. He created us. We had no existence without Him. If a person cannot have existence without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what else he has in this life? If total existence depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the time He wants, He can take it away. He gives us this existence. He never questioned us, when do you want to come? He sends us when He wants. And He takes us back when He wants. We can never question. We can never ask. We can never change. The total existence depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not given us any choice there. And second thing is, fasawwak. He fashioned us, perfected us. Look at different parts of the body. How perfectly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have designed the human being and molded the shape of this human being in such a beautiful way that there couldn't be any better way of making a human being than that. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Teen, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created the human beings in the best form. This is the best form of any living being. There can't be any better form than this one. And for everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, the best form that thing deserves. A person who was traveling and he saw a big tree, a huge tree that was full of apples. And just before that he had seen some watermelons. So he went and he's laying down under the tree of apples and is thinking to himself and he says, Ya Allah, everything is perfect, but this is I cannot understand. Such a big tree has such small fruit, apples. And those big watermelons are on small planets. Small plants have watermelons, if you have seen the watermelons growing. They are just on the ground, down. So small plants have such big watermelons. And big trees have these small apples. If it would have been the opposite, would have been much better. That big trees will carry the big fruit, and the smaller ones will carry the smaller ones, smaller fruit. He went to sleep, and an apple fell on his head. He says, Ya Allah, it's good that you put the watermelon there. If this was a watermelon on top of the street, I would got hurt badly. He understood one wisdom because he got hurt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is there in everything. Everything is perfect. But the most perfect thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made in the world is human being. When we look at other things around us and we say how beautiful it is. In fact, we get amazed by looking at some buildings and constructions, that how beautifully they are designed. And the architects designed them so nicely. And the builders have built them so perfectly. But nothing is more amazing than the creation of the human being. If we really look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human being in such a way that we are the ones who are doing all of this work now, the brain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our head. This is what's making us do all of this. Animals, they are at the same level where they were 1,000 years back. You go to the jungle, you don't see guns. Animals are not fighting with guns yet. They are seeing where they were 1,000 years back, 1,000,000 years back. They are at the same level. They are not building their homes out of gold and silver. They are not building castles for themselves. It's all the same. It's only the human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this brain. And nowadays we feel that our brain works better than the people who were before us. But we have to realize that it's only the use of the brain that's different. We are using it on different things. They were using it on some other things. Their brain was working the same way, might be better way, in the things that they were using it for. And our brain is working on the things that we are using it for. Wherever we would use this brain, it will work there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human beings such that whatever the human beings wants to do, he gave him the energy, the power, the strength, is stronger than these mountains and the fire and everything that we see around us. We see the birds. There are some animals that are used to hot weather. You bring them into this country, they die. Some animals that are used to this cold weather in this country, you take them to some hot countries, they would die. And we, the human beings, are traveling from the hottest part of the world to the coldest part in the world, and yet we survive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human beings such that when they decide of doing something, he gave them the ability to achieve that and to be able to do it. They can work hard for what they like to get. Gave them the brain to understand those things. So, this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. خلقك, created you. Then he perfected you. فعدلك, and he made everything in such a perfect way. Adal means justice, which means everything in its proper proportion, which means if the fingers would have been longer than what they are now, they won't function the way they are supposed to and they won't do what they are supposed to do. If instead of 4 fingers and a thumb, if you would have 5 fingers, they won't function the way they are supposed to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he made you in this perfect way, fa'adalak, and put everything in proper position. Fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. And whichever shape he wanted, he molded you in that form. Fi ayyi surah, surah means shape. Whichever shape he wanted for you, ma sha', whatever he wanted, rakkabak, he molded you in that form. And he put you in that form. And our form is the most perfect form. And our form is the most beautiful form. This is why, during the time of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, there was a person who divorced his wife, saying, they were sitting together, and you know, there are 2 things that can kill the person in this life. Both are dealing with emotions. One is love, the other is hatred. A person can kill himself with love, and he can kill himself with hatred. He can destroy his own life by one of these 2 things. So a person sitting with his wife, and as he's talking to his wife and in love, he gets so emotional and he looks at the moon and he says to her, if you are not more pretty than this moon, you are divorced. And to his understanding, he's saying a word of love, that you're so pretty that you're even more pretty than this moon. And if you are not more pretty than the moon, then you're divorced. But sometimes when one person is very emotional, the other person not necessarily that emotional. And she's thinking, right, she knows that, okay, he's at this time, whatever he's saying, tomorrow he won't be saying the same things again. We know it. That in the morning, let her do something wrong, and then she will be treated accordingly. So she said to him, the word you said, now we are divorced, we are separated. And now he realized, oh, I made a big mistake now. So he was running from scholar to another scholar, please find a way for me. And everyone says, your wife is divorced. Finally, they got to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, no, she is not divorced. And now this man himself is surprised that how come she is not divorced, and he knows his wife. He knows at that time he was emotional, now he's not emotional, and he knows she is not better than the moon. So all these scholars got upset, but you know, when he got that fatwa, I'm sure he must have run back home and say, you know, forget about all the other ones, he's right. So anyway, he went back home. He told his wife they are not divorced, and she said, no, it can't be. They went to, all the scholars got together, they got upset also that how come he's giving this type of fatwa, and finally they asked him, where did you get this from? He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created human being in the most perfect form, so nothing is better than human being in this life. Human being is better than moon. So this is why she is not divorced, and they all agreed with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the same fact that, oh human being, sun, moon, stars, they never turn away from me. They keep on obeying me. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything in this universe keeps on praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only the human being. Because he got the understanding, he got the abilities, so he wants to turn away and he feels that this is mine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, this is not yours. الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَّا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Look at the form that he has put you in. He gave you the best thing that you need in this life. And basically, it's just a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that don't turn away from me, O human being. You always need me. You always dependent on me. This reminds me of something that I have read in the history. In the history of judges and judgments in Islam, there was an event that I read and really very applicable here, that a woman went to a judge complaining against her husband, saying that he have married another wife. He got a second wife. So the judge never thought that this is a valid objection against her husband, and he said, what's wrong? He's allowed to marry up to four. He did not accept that complaint against her husband. So the woman said, and this is the most important thing that I want to narrate about it. She said, judge, because I'm a Muslim, I'm covering myself, you cannot see my face, and you cannot see my beauty. If you would know how beautiful, how pretty I am, you will stop my husband from marrying another wife, because he is not such a nice looking person, but he have married me and I have extraordinary beautifulness, or I'm very pretty. A person was standing over there who was supposed to write all the rulings of the judge, very God fearing person. When he heard this, he right away fainted and he fell down. When he got up, people asked him, what happened to you? He said, as soon as she said that, I remembered that if this woman is saying that I'm so pretty, this is why he is not supposed to marry another wife. Imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a great Allah. Everything about him is so unique that nothing else has it in this world, and yet we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go to other things. It's a lesson. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so gracious, blessing us, giving us everything, and as far as his own qualities, nur, light. And in every quality, he's superior than anything else we can think of. Laysa kamithlihi shay'. Nothing can resemble him. And yet we turn away from him and go to anything else in this life is a shame. What other qualities we are finding in other things that makes us turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to other people and other things in this life? Is there any quality in someone else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal-ayazu billah does not have it? Is there anything that people are doing for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing for us? What makes us turn away from Allah? مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Now we can understand this ayah very well, that, oh human being, what makes you careless of your Lord? الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَّا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to turn into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and establish our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to surat al-mustaqim. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.